You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD. It's week two of the October 2013 term. How's it going, my friend?
It's going well. Now, you are sounding slightly different to normal because you are on a remote location, having come back from some other remote location. But I think the audio quality is pretty good, but I should be sounding better than you for a change. Very unusual in our career that is the case.
Yes, so I mean, we're Skyping remotely, so a little bit of a different audio quality, but we want to get the DOD done as early as possible and here in the second week. And so that's why I figured that as long as you can hear sounds pretty decent, we figured we'd go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Because we've got a lot of stuff going on so far early in the term.
Yeah, absolutely. You've done a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, I ended up heading down to Mexico City last week to film, or to, I should say, photograph the Mexico City plaza that is serving as the backdrop for the Matt Payton course, Nuke 307 this term, that Nick and Ludo are teaching. And that was a lot of fun. It got delayed a bit, for reasons out of our control, having to do with weather and the situation down in Mexico City. The idea is, as we've talked about as part of the course, this is part of a short film that director Eduardo is doing, and he's been a member of FX PhD for a while, but also a well-known director in the market in Mexico, as well as Los Angeles, Miami Beach. But anyway, yes, that was the first opportunity that we had to get down there last week, where we filmed in a really cool location overlooking a fountain from the St. Regis Hotel in classic stealing a shot mode. We were able to get permission to shoot off the St. Regis balcony in return for taking some happy snaps for them, actually, that we were providing to the St. Regis Hotel for their website.
Oh, really?
So a nice location they'd set up aside. And I because the shoot was a bit delayed from going into it, the first classes, you guys have noticed, and I've already posted in the forums and sent a message to people, the first class is delayed as well. I did a bit of a bonus class on actually the photography of the background plate. Utilized the Nodal Ninja and the RD16 head, which is kind of the nicer head that they provide as part of that package. It's the upgraded package, I guess you could say. Idea of what I did there at the scene, and the idea being that we wanted to shoot the stitch panorama without any kind of parallax, and that's where the Nodal Ninja comes in, so that you can accurately stitch your rotating panorama. So anyway, that was part of an extra just bonus course, but another 30-minute class for you guys on that, as well as just stitching it together. If you guys want, I mean, I've also done a lot of HDR panel, introduce a whole another set of complexities. I'd be interested in if you guys would want to see a bit more about that as well. But anyway, that'll tide you over as the guys are hard at work now on the first class.
Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. I know the answer to this, but just for those that are listening, just you might want to articulate a little bit more why you had to take that shot off a balcony in Mexico. Why not take it off a balcony at your house in Los Angeles?
Yes, well, that's because as part of the short film, it's the woman wakes up in Mexico City. That's inherent. It's a big part of the storyline of how we started out as part of this film. The other thing being is that we wanted to find a location that was normally has a lot of energy, a lot of people, and with, you know, close to a billion people, Mexico City seemed like a good backdrop to go from a stark contrast of a very crowded place to a very deserted. That's the reason why, and as well as the fact the rest of the photography, principal photography, will be done as part of upcoming courses that will be also done on the streets of Mexico City. So it makes sense to do it there as well. My balcony looks nothing like Mexico City.
Yeah, that would be a harder visual effect shot, right? Make Santa Monica sort of Venice look like Mexico. Excellent. Oh, well, that's really good. And so we're going to be helping out with that as well. That course, there's a lot of stuff that happens between the two offices. Hopefully, in that same course, we'll be shooting some elements in Sydney, which will be feeding into that stuff going on, which will be good. And we're certainly looking forward to contributing because it's a very important course, that new course.
Yeah, and as you can see in our reference shot that the guys will see, is we'll show you the course, there is a moving camera, which suitably works into the course this term. How fortunate is that?
How fortunate is that? Like we planned it. Yes, yes. So, and so obviously that was a bit of a, I mean, how long were you actually there? Did you actually get to stay at the St. Regis Hotel?
No. Like that's the overpriced $500 a night hotel. I actually, Eduardo hooked me with a local favorite, which is really great. Two nights for half the price of that. But yeah, I flew in there. I basically, because the beginning of the term is really so busy at FX PhD, I didn't feel comfortable getting out. So I like headed down in the evening, one evening, landed there and got in the hotel about 2 a.m. Was actually on the deck of the St. Regis less than 6 hours later.
Ow.
Shooting those stills. And
that's, and yes. Then, well, I guess there's not much jet lag from LA, right? There's a lot of jet lag from
no,
Sydney.
No, it's the same time zone. It's more, I guess you could say, what, travel lag or travel tired, as I call it?
I would call it just that feeling. Yeah, no, I think the medical term is being buggered.
Being buggered, yes. It's just like when you're out, you know, traveling is hard. It gets, it's tiring. It's harder than just working at home. So anyway, but yeah, but it was good. We had that opening at the St. Regis. We wanted to do it in the morning for reasons. I mean, that's part of the storyline as well, that we want to have a kind of a, you know, the kind of angle of where the sun was at the time. It was a little bit higher than we wanted, but still morning time for sure, 10 a.m. But yeah, quick turnaround, hopped back on the plane and got back in Chicago and started stitching stuff together on Saturday and got them uploaded to the guys on Saturday night.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, that's really, really good. Actually, yeah. I wanted to flag something else on while we're talking about film production. We've just stuck something up on the FX PhD production blog, which used to be the Dean's blog, but we changed it to the production blog. And it's one of our students, Stuart Bender, who's been working on a short film. And so we've stuck a story up there. It's always great, John, to profile the work that that PhD grads do, and especially when it's their own projects. In Stuart's case, he's in Perth, and he's made this short film called Excursion. It's there's a story up about it. It's a pretty serious topic. And but yeah, it's up on the production blogs. You want to see what one of your fellow members has been up to? He's shooting with the Epic Red camera and doing some really cool stuff there. He's actually just about, by the time you listen to this, will have passed his goal to get some Kickstarter funding to finish off the sort of the end of the film. But yeah, I mean, I just love it when people get out there and do stuff. And you know, it's being edited in Adobe Premiere, but it was all shot in 4K on the actually, I think it was on the Scarlett, the Epic, might have been on the Epic, but it was, could have been on the Scarlett. Yeah, so you can read about that over at fxphd.com in the blog.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I was talking to Eduardo, and he's been, I mean, he got in contact with us. I think he got me here in LA and then email with you as well. After being a member of FXPhD for a couple years, and he's been in the business a long time, director, like I say, doing commercials, but his angle is actually also having a very strong knowledge of post and visual effects and helping him actually, get the job or do the job more efficiently, because as a director, he actually knows a lot of the post-production process. And it was quite interesting actually talking to him. We're shooting some clips we've talked about in the DoD. I mentioned a couple weeks ago about testimonials from members, and I think it's really easy to think that you look at a training site like FXPhD, and for some people it's just like, okay, that's where you go to start your career and learn. But like, frankly, the number of people that we have in FXPhD who are professionals in the field, successful professionals, but just wanting to keep up on the latest trends and improve their skills, is really a large part of our membership. And he has some very tangible examples of taking some thoughts from some of the classes at FXPhD and actually turning them to his benefit in production. One in particular, I don't believe, I'll probably botch this, but I think it was one of Iran's matte painting courses. It might have been Tall's, actually, were sticking, putting a mountain scene and doing comp on a truck and a road, or putting that in the background. You know, he actually ended up saving a full shoot day, effectively, from what the client wanted to do. They wanted to head from Mexico City down up to Monterey, I think it was, to actually film, because there's this famous mountain. And he's like, well, you know what? we should really just film it outside of town, and I'll stick the mountain in the background, and then I'll place it in that area, at least to the average viewer. Saved a full day shoot doing that. And, you know, just that it's one really concrete example of the kind of stuff that, you know, you can get from expanding your knowledge. And I found it really interesting. And he has lots of stories actually related to that. He has props to several, and including yourself, Mike, and stuff that he picked up in background.
All right. Well, that's kind. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, though. It is very much the case that people think that, you know, but we phrased it, you know, sort of, I guess, publicity, I guess you call it, about taking your career to the next level. And I think that's probably the way we tried to phrase that was quite accurate. We didn't, you know, get started in is not what our tagline is.
No.
How to learn stuff you don't know seemed a little vague. But it's this idea that, you know, you're doing something, you want to do something else. And I've got to say, a lot of people I know in post-production did some of our DOP courses because they just wanted to learn about lenses and stuff.
It's in reverse, doesn't it? Yeah,
exactly. The same way DOPs who wanted to learn about stuff that they just felt they could be more informed as to what was going on. I'm a big believer in that. I think it's a really key aspect, which is why I think it's sometimes good if you can do two courses that are really what you want to do hardcore. And then the third one is I'd like to learn a bit about Arnold or something, you know, that's sort of not in your immediate gun sights, but you become just that much more valuable as a more rounded individual, having that understanding, even if you don't have to do it personally yourself that much. As a compositor, maybe you don't have to do, you know, Arnold rendering, but you might learn about that, just to use that as an example. I just think there's an enormous amount of benefit for cross-learning.
Yeah, very, very much so. I think that's a good standpoint, a good kind of approach to take with our curriculum. You know, use that third course to kind of expand your knowledge, and, you know, maybe you're not going to spend all your time following along doing the comps or whatever with it, but certainly increase your knowledge level as part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to flag out my first background class. We're looking at some stuff to do. Well, I have an interview I did in Melbourne with Paul Dubevic, but I've got to say also did great fun playing with this app that they helped develop, which was basically scanning your own face and then putting sunglasses or glasses on it, but mathematically accurately putting them on. So if the glasses are too thin for your head, you would see that. Big problem with, you know, looking at anything like that. I wish they could develop this for shoes because I can't buy shoes online. I don't know how anyone ever does. And I'd always said that was the other thing, you know, sunglasses was the other thing, like shoes. You just got to try them on in a store because you've got no idea what they look like on your head. And lo and behold, they've worked out a way for making it look like what it's on your head. So if you want to see me looking like a complete galah, as we'd say in Australia, I've scanned my head and I put various stupid glasses on my face to show how great this app is. I mean, the app is free. I think it's free. Anyway, if it isn't, it's like a buck. And it's just awesome. It's just so much fun scanning your own head and having it accurately build a 3D model of your head and then put digital glasses on it. And it sounds like it would be really crude and look really horrible and give you no idea. But in fact, it looks pretty much like it would look with the glasses. I mean, you can move them up and down on the crown of your nose. You can lift up and down the back of the glasses where they sit on your ears. You can do all sorts of things. And you'd think, well, what the heck has that got to do with Paul Dubevic and ICT and the work that they've done with LightStage? But in fact, one of the little known secrets of LightStage is that it was no good at scanning man-made things like swords or glasses or big shiny metal things because of the reflectivity properties of a metal or a glass. And this was completely solved by the team, and that opened the door to being able to scan things like glasses and then put those into a database that would then be used by a program such as the one at glasses.com. So, I mean, it's great pleasure having people like Paul on any time, and we get really in-depth with him. But I got to say, I had fun with this app. It was way more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Anytime we can have a little self-deprecating humor in the name of learning is always good.
Yeah. I would like to pretend that I looked really dapper, but I didn't. I looked like...
You're a handsome man.
No, I looked pretty silly. I mean, I looked because I deliberately chose glasses that would be dramatic. Next time you're on a plane and you want to amuse yourself, oh, Mike. Oh, dear. What have you done now?
Yes, well, it was good to see that in the downloads page. And, hey, a big shout-out as well to our profs for being incredibly awesome and timely in getting all the classes out on time this week so everyone can preview them, apart from the one that I mentioned that was, you know, pretty much our fault by behind the scenes, nothing to do with the profs on our end, ours and the weather, I guess you could say. But again, just want to thank those guys, and those classes are all available, as we said last week, on the preview classes page. And you also notice, and know there's many of you who are listening who are probably new to the FX PhD, you've got a couple of questions of, hey, again, I selected a class, and then another one background appeared on in the background that Mike was talking about. Background fundamentals is one of the bonus offerings, free, comes along, doesn't count to your course count at all. It's there again. What we call one of the bonus extras that goes along with the forums and the VPN.
Yeah, no, it is. It is great fun doing background fundamentals. And as I posted in the blog, in the forum, sorry, in this week, it was interesting for me because we were doing background fundamentals, and lo and behold, when I started down this process, the whole point of background was to give you the kind of knowledge that you maybe didn't need to go out and seek because it wasn't particularly relevant right this second, but, you know, would become relevant because in the broader context it would pop up. Had exactly that experience myself, because when I was talking to Paul, a lot of their research in this particular area of solving the problem with the sunglasses revolved around spherical harmonics. Well, we'd done a whole lot on spherical harmonics over Weta's use of it in Pantarray for rendering in things like Avatar and beyond. And so I found that all the stuff that I'd learned about spherical harmonics from Weta suddenly was relevant to a sunglasses app and Lightstage. And that's exactly the kind of things that happen, that you're in a meeting and someone brings up some piece of tech that maybe is a bit obscure, and you're like quite comfortable to talk about it because, hey, guess what? You know, you saw it perhaps in a different context, but it's enough to have that in. And it just makes such a difference not sitting there going, sorry, what are you talking about? What's that? I have no idea what you're talking about. It's, you know, may not understand it fully, and certainly I don't claim for a second to be as numerically adept as, Dr. Paul Dubovic, but I did, you know, understand completely what he was talking about because of the previous work that we'd done and my own interest, of course, in that kind of lovely sphere of mathematics that that VFX uses.
Yeah, I would say if as an artist and say you're working on commercial, I would say that, you know, if something gets brought up, and that's probably not something that will get brought up in that, but, you know, it's certainly something as well that within a session and keeping up within a meeting, keeping up on the latest production techniques and post techniques can actually serve you as well in that type of meeting as well. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been in a bid meeting or pitch meeting with ad agency clients or something like that, and they've kind of pulled something I have to give a response to right on the spot, right?
Just
like, you know, they throw a curveball or, you know, throw a monkey wrench, whatever you want to call it, and you'll need to respond to that right away. And keeping up to date, I have to say that all the extracurricular stuff that I always did, and FX Guide, frankly, because we, you know, that was before the days of FX PhD, but all that knowledge that we had in the articles and interviews from FX Guide really served me well. And FX PhD just takes that to a whole different level, and especially I think background is a great example of that.
Yeah, I mean, we did stuff on LED lighting, and that became relevant when I was talking to the guys at Gravity about shooting Sandra Bullock inside the light box because of the spectral responses. I mean, these things just do that, you know, all the time. They just cross over. I think you can't be a specialist and just focus on your area. It's really crank up and look at some of the other areas as they impact you. And, you know, it's just how it is in the industry these days.
Yeah, very much so.
Hey, there's also a wonderful, nothing to do with us, story on FX Guide, just while I flag it, about digital domain. And the reason I want to flag it is because I think Jeff was involved in it. Or if he wasn't, certainly Jeff's company, but I think Jeff was involved in it. It's a just hysterically funny making of, well, funny, right? Not ha-ha funny, of how they did this full reverse time-lapse over 30 years in South Africa, or at least it would be in South Africa if it wasn't done digitally, starting with doing some tests in their car park at DD. It's for a commercial, but it's just... it struck me as being just a really great kind of get off your ass, get outside, put some stuff in the car park, kind of block out how you might do the shot. I just can't applaud that enough. I think it's just a great way to work.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You assume it's like, let's just start building it on the computer, building in 3D.
And they literally got like the garbage can out of someone's office and, you know, various bits of tiles and samples for the
I love this warning cone. I think they... the orange cone.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah, that works.
Yeah, and it worked really well. I thought the commercial was really interesting. And
no,
I,
you get the point.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. But, you know, it was funny because when we were doing that, I heard about this test in the car park. I was like, well, you have to show me that. And they're like, really? Kind of guess? And I was like, no, you absolutely. Go and find wherever that car park test is because that's, I think that's gold. And they went, oh, okay. And so they kindly made up this exclusive behind the scenes making for us that includes the car park shot that John's referring to. But they nearly didn't include that because they didn't think anyone would be interested. And I was like, no, that'd be exactly
no, that's
what
the- That is so cool.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's so what you need to do these days is just be willing to jump up and grab a camera and test some stuff out and pull stuff together. Oh, it's brilliant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So are you a little quieter this week moving forward, or are you going crazy on all fours?
It does lighten up a bit in the first, you know, after the first couple of weeks you have, you know, and it's really understandable, you know, as the, you know, we have a lot of great new profs and talented artists and, you know, we speak to them and really suss out, you know, can they teach and so forth. But it's a lot of work and it's teaching is really hard. And from the technical consideration of the QuickTime movies and just frankly, you know, talking to them about content, and we've learned a lot over the 30 terms of the FX PhD of kind of how to approach things and kind of best practices. It just takes time getting everyone up to speed. You know, when you have a large number of new profs every term, it's just a natural part of the process. I think especially, do you remember, Mike, when we were recording our first classes, how long those first couple classes took to actually record? I don't know. Maybe for you.
No. It was camera, and you'd have to get that into the computer, and that alone was like completely dodgy and hard to do. And oh man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it takes a while, and you know, I'm a talker with clients and working on the machine, and we have no problem doing that. But boy, when it comes to listening to my own voice and recording myself and going through it and listening it back and knowing how to approach. The first couple of classes that I recorded at FX PhD took forever, and I like to refer to it now as talking people off the ledge, going, you know, I've just got my first class done, took me X number of hours, you know, full day. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm like, believe me, it gets easier over time. It gets more comfortable. You get in a flow and rhythm in doing that. So that's another, you know, part of making sure that, you know, everything that we do and all the information we provide to the profs actually gets them actually started off on the right foot without running into those pitfalls, because, you know, just doing the course content is hard enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hopefully, you know, when we talk next week, you guys won't be living in cardboard boxes and having to pay for things in your front yard. But
yes,
yes.
Good thing half of our, yes.
But hopefully you're also stocked up on canned goods.
It's an Australian-based company.
Hopefully you've also stocked up on canned goods and batteries.
I've been checking the visa requirements of whether it's easy for me to get a work visa down there being part owner.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on down. Yeah. Institute. I love America, but we'd happy to institute an immigration policy to save your ass. Get out quick. Yeah. No, it's all good, but I don't know what it actually is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We'll know in a week. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Interesting times, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was the best part about going to Mexico City. The chance for about 48 hours to not...
Yes, yes. I imagine the coverage is pretty strong there. It's pretty strong here, and I'm not in the middle.
Well, yeah, but it's in... I don't know Spanish well enough that... Oh, you mean it's here in the States?
Yeah, I'm saying in the States, you'd be having quite a lot of coverage.
Sure,
on...
They have coverage demanded.
Right.
Ignorance is bliss. So.
Okay.
In that case, so... Well, anyway, my friend, I'm going to get back to work myself here. Took a few boxes off before the end of the night, but as always, it's great to chat with you.
Good to chat to you too. And next week, we should be back on normal audio quality. And yes, it should be great. All right. So good to talk to you again, John. I'm glad Mexico City went well.
Yeah, it does. Next week. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.